Welcome to Sharing the Victory, the weekly radio program from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, the heart and soul in sports. Your host for the next 30 minutes is University of Nebraska assistant football coach Ron Brown. Today, Ron will interview Tennessee Titans linebacker David Thornton.
I believe that Christian men on athletic teams should be some of the most hardest working, most prepared, most diligent, on-time men on the team.
Ron will also talk to Wes Neal, author of a handbook on athletic perfection.
Circumstances can tell us what strategy to use in a game, but it doesn't dictate our effort. And our effort is to be like Jesus in everything we do.
And we'll hear how FCA Golf is ministering on the professional tours. Now, here's Ron Brown.
It's an honor to have David Thornton, outstanding linebacker for the Tennessee Titans, with us. David, welcome to Sharing the Victory.
Glad to be on. Thank you for having me.
David, what a season. I mean, I remember Jeff Fisher years ago. I was with the Chicago Bears a number of years ago when Jeff was a veteran defensive back, and little did I know that he would become an NFL head coach. But I'll tell you what, he's had his best year so far, and you're a member of this team. What do you see in him and this football team that's been very special this year?
Well, it definitely has been an exciting and memorable season thus far. Coach Fisher has done a great job getting all the guys to buy into the system, to believe in the vision of the team, and we just continue to build on the goals that we set way back in training camp, and we just continue to strive to work towards those goals. Coach Fisher is just doing a great job of getting everyone on the same page and working hard every week.
Well, David, you mentioned vision, and as you know, as I've studied Scripture, it sure seems that God has a vision for His people, and He places sovereignly His people in a variety of different places around the earth, and one of those places is with the Tennessee Titans football team and a man named David Thornton. How did you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and how do you see the impact of your relationship with Christ overflowing into this football team?
Well, I came to know Christ my sophomore year in college when I was at UNC Chapel Hill. I was born in a Christian home, but I didn't really develop that serious, intimate, personal relationship with Christ until I started walking with the Lord in college. Mm-hmm. And that's when I slowly began to see my life start to change. I started using the platform that He has given me through sports to help share and witness to others. And just leaving the University of North Carolina, going on to Indianapolis to play with the Colts, I was drafted there in the fourth round, and I was able to just be under a great system under Coach Dungy. Mm-hmm. I was able to witness, you know, a God-fearing head coach who shared his platform not only with the coaches, but with the players in the community. And that was a great example for me to see, you know, one-on-one, how you can let your light shine before men and God be honored in everything you're doing. And now here in Tennessee, you know, as a team, you know, we're doing very well. And I'm not only myself, but other guys who are believers have been given opportunities just to share with guys on the team and just to see the Lord working and giving us much favor and success this season. It's just really been great, and I'm excited to see, you know, what the Lord is going to do in the end.
We're talking to David Thornton, linebacker with the Tennessee Titans. And, David, you mentioned Tony Dungy, and, of course, a lot of us are very familiar with Tony. And I talked to Tony recently about his days as a player with the Pittsburgh Steelers back in the day when they were the Steel Curtain and they had some outstanding teams, four Super Bowl teams, et cetera. But, you know, one thing that was really interesting is he talked about some of the nucleus of players at New Christ back then. A couple of him played in the secondary with him. Mel Blount, outstanding cornerback. Donnie Shell, great strong safety, played there. And we've seen over the years with certain teams, particularly teams that have won a lot of football games and have been moving forward and improving and so forth, that there oftentimes is a strong Christian nucleus there. Do you see that with the Tennessee Titans? And can you give us some examples of how that looks on the Titan football team?
Well, that definitely does hold true. Whenever you have believers standing in the gap for the team, I definitely believe that God honors that. And from my time, my 4 years when I was there in Indianapolis, and there were guys there, Tariq Glenn, Jeff Saturday, along with others who helped me out as an accountability partner and keeping me accountable in my walk and just uplifting each other and encouraging the team. And it's the same situation here in Tennessee. I've been very blessed and fortunate to come in two systems where we do have, you know, strong Christian brothers who aren't afraid to be bold about the gospel, who aren't afraid to challenge each other as men of integrity, men of character, and doing things God's way. And here, personally, on this team, Kevin Mawaya is a great spiritual leader. Mm-hmm. We always get together and pray with each other and just lift up the team. And I just ask God to continue to be with us and guide us and be pleased with everything we do. So I definitely see the common thread with a lot of teams, not just the Titans or the Colts, but various teams throughout the league. You know, if you ever see the conclusion of a game, most of the time in the middle of the field, you'll see a group of men, you know, joining hands from both teams, you know, just uplifting the name of Jesus and just asking him to bless us and continue to use us in a way that he sees fit. And that just says a lot about the guys in the NFL. You know, you don't really hear a lot about stories like that, but there are some men that really believe in doing things God's way.
I think there is something about this, and what you're saying is that if you're a living integrity and character, in other words, if you're living the Christian life, if you're walking intimately with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to start to do things different. I mean, you're going to start taking stewardship of your time. You're going to get to bed on time. You're going to eat well. You're not going to be hanging in places that you shouldn't be. As you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be a greater release of your effort on the field. You're going to run wind sprints without dogging it. You're going to be a man of integrity that says, you know what, I'm not leaving anything behind off this field today before I walk off. You're going to do the little extra effort. And all of that is enhancing to maximizing the God-given potential that he's given you. Small wonder why there would be a greater opportunity to win because you're living right. Would you agree with that? Because that's what I see, really. It's not just an automatic. It is because people are living a life of Christ and their habits become different.
No question about it. You know, I definitely always I believe that Christian men on athletic teams should be some of the most hardest working, most prepared, most diligent, on-time men on the team. And I believe that because the scripture teaches in Colossians 3:23 that whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly, you know, for the Lord and not for men, and honoring God in all that you do. And if you keep that in mind, you know, whatever, no matter if it's a sport or your job, if you know you're doing it for him, you want it to be done the right way. You're always, you know, representing Christ, and I keep that in mind when I'm working out, you know, when I'm practicing, when I'm training with the team, when I'm in the community, I'm serving others. You know, just remember that how would God conduct himself? How would he see fit? How would he be pleased with what you're doing? And even on the field, I constantly remind myself who I'm out there for, who am I representing, and who is with me. You know, the Bible teaches that he would never leave us nor forsake us, so I know that, you know, while I'm out here playing, you know, this game of football, I can do anything through his strength. With Christ in my life, I know that I can go out here and execute my job to the fullest. And that's so true. You know, as Christians, you know, we definitely should do things, you know, not only just the right way, but in a godly way.
That was David Thornton, the linebacker for the Tennessee Titans. Let's pray for David as he leads the Titans in the playoffs. Coming up next, Sharing the Victories, Bill Bumpus will have a special interview with Ben Boast of the FCA Golf Ministry. Thanks for listening today to Sharing the Victory.
For working out or going to the game, for every occasion, FCA has clothing that feels comfortable and also allows you to honor God when you wear it. Whether you're male or female, an athlete, coach, parent, or fan, you want to show you support the heart and soul in sports. And of course, Bible devotionals, worship CDs, and posters are also always available. To order online, go to FCA.org and click on FCA Gear. Again, go to FCA.org and click on FCA Gear. You have talent, you have ability. As an athlete or coach, you are expected to deliver results. But for a Christian competitor, it isn't just about winning. It's about reaching for a higher level.
So let the competition begin, and let the glory be God's.
Want your love for sports to represent your love for Christ? Become a part of Team FCA and sign the Competitor's Creed. Visit FCA.org. That's FCA.org.
Well, welcome back to Sharing the Victory, and Bill Bumpus here. It's time for FCA Across America, and our special guest is Ben Boast with FCA Golf, and he's the Tour Life Ministry Director. And Ben, you know, everyone knows about the PGA Tour, but there's a lot of other levels of golf, and FCA is able to minister to those players who are trying to move up in the golf world. And tell us about that ministry and specifically what you do for FCA.
Well, first, thanks for having me, Bill. I really appreciate it. We started Tour Life at the end of 2006. A lot of it was born out of a desire to minister to both men and women at the lower levels of professional golf, also amateur golf as well. It was a dream that came out of the heart of myself after playing professionally for 7 years and traveling the developmental tours and being a part of ministries that were already out there. And also Jose Alvarez, who played professional baseball for 5 years in the major leagues. And we just really had a vision to go and reach those golfers at the lower level as they were working their way up to try to get to the world-class level. and just meet them where they're at, meet needs, and help them develop in their relationship with Christ on the way to hopefully the world-class level.
And Ben, sometimes the Lord gets our attention through difficult times, through struggles, and it's not easy being on tour. And, you know, there's hundreds of guys trying to win, and there's only one winner every
right.
week. And do you find that more people are open as they're going through some difficult situations and realize that it's more than just themselves? There's a bigger picture out there?
You know, I think that the challenges are definitely present at every level. There's the struggles of living out of a suitcase at the developmental levels. There's traveling, sleeping in different hotel rooms, trying to find roommates, you know, driving to a lot of events. And then one of the challenges that's present at every level is being away from home as much as you are playing professional golf. I mean, guys could be away for 8 weeks at a time. And if they're married and have kids, they don't see their family, and they may not have the money to have their family come and travel with them. So it can be really difficult, stresses on the family, stresses personally, to try and continue to develop and mature in your relationship with Christ while you're on the road. So that's one of the areas we try to address with real frequency, is helping people to grow in their relationship with Christ as they're traveling.
Mm-hmm. Visiting with Ben Bost, and he's the director for the Tour Life Ministry. So it's not just Bible studies, and that is important, of course, to help them to grow in their walk with the Lord. But you touched on it earlier. It's just meeting needs, being where they are. Flesh that out for us. What does that really look like?
Well, the purpose statement for Tour Life is to encourage, equip, and engage the professional and amateur golfer in the journey of life in golf. So our whole goal is, if there's a need that we can meet in their life that can start to build a relationship between our Tour Life reps on that tour and that person, we would like to try to do that. So we try to minister to the person holistically. That includes chapel on a regular basis or Bible study. That's certainly available at all the tours that we serve. But there's also one-on-one meeting, mentoring, counseling. You know, we give opportunities to talk to people about finances if they're struggling there. With FCA Health and Fitness, we make that available to them. So there's a variety of things that we try to do. One of the really neat ways that this need has been met in local areas as we travel the country has been with our Tour Life Ministry teams, Richmond and in Boise, where groups of local individuals come together to put together the events centered around Tour Life, an effort to make the community feel more at home for the players when they come to town.
Well, as you can tell, FCA is doing a great work with the golf ministry, FCA Golf. And if you want more information, you can go to the website. It's fcagolf.org. That's fcagolf.org. And Ben Bost, thank you so much for just opening our eyes to what FCA Golf is doing out there for the professionals and the amateurs. And we really appreciate the time.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Next up, Wes Neal, a man who's inspired me a ton to make the connection between Jesus Christ and sports. That's coming up next as you listen to Sharing the Victory, the national radio show from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
We've got our game plan down for the next game, no doubt about it. But I wish we could go over a game plan for life. I mean, every day I walk into this locker room and bam, here it comes. Peer pressure, drugs, partying, you name it. I never know what to say. I never know what to do. I need someone who can coach me for life and give me purpose.
There is a master coach waiting to give you a new game plan for life. Go to morethanwinning.org.
At FCA, we're touching millions one heart at a time. Since 1954, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes has been putting the heart and soul in sports by challenging athletes and coaches to impact the world for Jesus Christ. As the largest sports ministry in the world, FCA now reaches over 2 million people annually on the professional, college, high school, junior high, and youth levels. Through this shared passion for athletics and faith, lives are changed one heart at a time. Learn more at fca.org. Sharing the Victory Radio is online anytime at sharingthevictoryradio.com. Now back to Ron Brown.
What an honor it is for me personally to have this guest on Sharing the Victory. His name is Wes Neal, author, speaker, and a man who has helped a number of us connect to Jesus Christ in the sports world while we compete. Wes, welcome to Sharing the Victory.
Thank you. It's good to be here, Ron.
Wes, I first read a book by you called The Handbook on Athletic Perfection. It was a number of years ago, probably 25 years ago.
A little more than that, probably.
Okay. But I'll tell you this. I was just brand new Christian. My high school basketball coach gave me this book. He said, I think you're going to like this. And it talked about how one could compete with the power of Jesus Christ competing through them. And I'd never heard such a thing. The only thing I had heard before were, you know, pre-game chapel services or post-game prayers or an athletic banquet where at an FCA deal where you tell everybody how Jesus helped you win the Super Bowl or something like that. But no one ever explained to me how to connect Christ in my practices and in my drills and techniques and in my workouts and my weightlifting and speed work and all of that kind of stuff. What nailed that in your life? Because I'm telling you, a lot of us athletes back in the 1980s really got hit with this information, and it really helped us in all walks of our Christian life.
Ron, actually, I started it as a project just for myself. A buddy of mine on the Athletes in Action weightlifting team, Daniel Hollis, he and I started talking about how do you really lift weights the way God wants us to. And, of course, I'd never read anything about that, and neither had Daniel. And the best we could come up with was it's kind of the same adage for witnessing. You witness in the power of the Holy Spirit and leave the results to God. Well, the best we could come up with was you lift weights in the power of the Holy Spirit and leave the results to God. But the problem was we didn't know how to lift weights in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so after my tour, I began to research the Bible in a new way and discovered there was just one principle after another that really related to sports as well as all areas of life. And so what I did was just glean out those principles from the Bible that apply to every area of life, but focus them in on my particular sport of weightlifting, and consequently it spread out to a lot of other sports as well.
Well, Wes, I'll tell you what, as we begin to implement those biblical principles into our life, a number of us begin to experience a fresh intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ in the middle of gut-wrenching drills in practice. I mean, we would be gasping for air, being on our last leg, rigor mortis climbing all over our bodies, and we were able to learn how to focus on Christ while we're going through it. It was a difficult thing, but we learned that we could be trained to do that, and it had a whole lot to do with about having the right goal. And one of the chapters that you dedicate in your book, The Handbook on Athletic Perfection, is devoted to the perfect goal. Why don't you explain what that means for the Christian
athlete? Really the foundation of the whole concept of total release, Ron. It's the goal, it's listed in different ways, a little over 120 times in the New Testament, and it boils down to the goal is to represent Jesus Christ in everything that we do. In other words, we're to be at one with Him, we're to be tuned into our Father just as He was, we're to focus on the things that He would focus on. And so my goal, instead of lifting a certain poundage or setting a particular statistic in track and field or whatever it might be, my goal is not to do that, but to represent Jesus in every workout. And that's, I think, what you were talking about, too, is the same thing I experienced, that when I focused on that, even though I was tired and my body wanted to shut down, my spirit and mind wouldn't let me do it. It just kept drawing out the best in me as I worked out. So the goal is based on really Romans 8:28-29, that God causes all things to work together for good, and the reason for that is He conforms us to the likeness of His Son. And so He does the conforming process in us, but we have to set our mind on representing Jesus. It's a supernatural thing. And God uses that goal to draw us out of the natural and to live on His higher plane. But it's something, as you've discovered, Ron, and I have, and many others have, that it takes preparation ahead of time. We don't just run into something and say, I'm representing Jesus now, because we really, in order to represent Jesus, we've got to really get to know Him. And I find that that's the weak area that most of us experience, is we really don't know Jesus as well as we should.
We're talking to Wes Neal, outstanding author and biblical scholar, really has done a tremendous job of helping to promote biblical principles in the world of sports. And Wes, I remember a play years ago in the Super Bowl. It was Buffalo versus Dallas, and it was at the end of the game, and Dallas was really beating Buffalo handily. And a Christian wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills named Don Beebe on a play that was, I think, become a very famous play, a fumble by Buffalo, and Leon Lett, I believe, was the Dallas Cowboys, picked up the ball, the loose ball, and started heading for the goal line, and Don Beebe must have chased the guy 50 or 60 yards. They're way behind in the score and made an amazing play, tackle. I think Lett might have fumbled the ball, whatever, but it was something that the average player would have never done. They would have just said, oh, the game's out of hand and no one cares, but yet there was something inside of Don Beebe that went beyond the score of that game. And I have every reason to believe it was because of his representation of Jesus Christ that took him to a much higher goal, and that was to release every ounce of energy he had as unto the Lord Jesus Christ, which meant that there was never a time in that game that he would ever lose any type of motivational effort.
You hit on something really important there, Ron, because most workouts are done without a big audience around. And yet our responsibility is to represent Jesus with everything we have in each of those moments, as well as if there was a big audience, just like Don Beebe ran after with no bearing on the game, but that was his responsibility of representing Jesus.
And another word for that might be circumstance-free playing. When your goal is Jesus Christ, you play regardless of circumstances. Circumstances don't dictate your effort. Isn't that
exactly
right?
Yeah, there's circumstances can tell us what strategy to use in a game, but it doesn't dictate our effort, as you just mentioned. Our effort is to be like Jesus in everything we do, having his encouragement for our teammates, having his commitment to excellence in whatever he did. As we get to really study his life, we'll see that he was totally giving of himself in every situation that he was in.
Hey, from time to time, we're going to be hearing from Wes Neal. That's great stuff. In fact, we're going to have him back next week as he talks about winning. Speaking of winning, FCA President Les Steckel is a winner, and he's going to talk about the dangers of gossiping. That's next on Coach's Corner. Keep it right here on Sharing the Victory.
Here's a quick hit from Orlando Magic Senior Vice President Pat Williams.
I think it's important to go for it. I think to get to the end of your life and say there was so much more I could have done. There were so many opportunities, but I just walked away from them, or I didn't take a shot at it. I didn't take a risk. I think that would be a tragedy. God promises that if we ask for his blessings, ask for his wisdom, he'll give it to us. I think that's the way to live.
Quick hit from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, FCA.
Next weekend on Sharing the Victory, Ron Brown goes one-on-one with Utah Jazz forward Kyle Korver.
When I'm broken, when I'm hurting, that's also when I'm clinging hardest to God. That's when I'm really digging in. I'm really trying to figure this out. And I also feel like that's also when I'm learning the most.
Plus, Ron continues his conversation with Wes Neal about the biblical approach to sports competition. And we'll hear from Appalachian State head football coach Jerry Moore. Make sure you join us next weekend for Sharing the Victory.
Welcome back to Sharing the Victory. I'm Ron Brown, your host. Check us out anytime online at sharingthevictoryradio.com. You can listen to past programs and subscribe to the free weekly podcast. It's time now for Coach's Corner with FCA President Les Steckel.
Recently, our FCA senior leadership team and our spouses were privileged to have Dr. Michael Easley address us over our several days of national meetings. Dr. Easley has recently served as the President Emeritus of the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, where he also had two radio Bible teaching programs. He has just now become the senior pastor of Fellowship Bible Church in suburban Nashville, Tennessee. His lengthy daily time in the Bible and considerable communication skills make him an excellent Bible teacher. Today, I'd like to discuss one of his statements that I thought was especially important. As I've noticed far too often myself, Dr. Easley spoke about his displeasure with Christians who gossip. As part of Dr. Easley's message on walking well as Christians, he spoke of the importance of living a blameless life. Otherwise, well-intended Christians who gossip about others often diminish, if not destroy, their Christian witness by engaging in conversations they should not pursue. Sometimes people gossip in a vain attempt to demonstrate they're more in the know about someone or something than other persons. Sometimes the intention is to try to get closer to another individual by sharing something that would take them into their confidence. Sometimes, but hopefully never by Christians, the gossip is simply to harm the reputation of another individual. No matter what reason, gossip is wrong. Proverbs 11, verse 13 says, a gossip betrays a confidence. Proverbs 16:28 states that gossip separates close friends. And the Apostle Paul, writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20, equates gossip with slander, arrogance, and disorder. There is nothing worthy in that grouping of sins. Dr. Easley pointed out that the Rotarians organization has recognized the value of positive speech and has created a simple rule for knowing what can and should be said at their meetings and by their members. Very simply, the Rotarians state that before you speak about another, you should ask yourself four basic questions. Ask yourself what I am about to say. Is it kind, true, confidential, and necessary to share? Yes, the Bible speaks about our tongue in James chapter 1, verse 26. Anyone who says he is a Christian but doesn't control his sharp tongue is just fooling himself, and his witness is not worth much. I think that's so wise and so important to be considerate of how we speak about others. If we all follow the Rotarians' rule of speech and stop and ask ourselves before we speak, is what we are going to say kind, true, confidential, and necessary to share will bring honor to ourselves, to our neighbor, and also to the Lord. Represent our Lord by speaking well today. Godspeed.
We've had another great program today, and I'm looking forward to next week. Kyle Korver, that outstanding shooting forward for the Utah Jazz, will be with us, bullseyeing what it means to shoot it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jerry Moore, the head football coach at Appalachian State, will be with us. As I mentioned, Wes Neal will be back with us next week as he talks about God's definition of winning. Remember, there are two ways of doing sports, God's way or man's way. Which will you choose? From all of us here at Sharing the Victory, have a great week in Christ.
We're so glad you joined us today, and don't forget that our website is available for you anytime at sharingthevictoryradio.com. As always, you can listen to past programs and subscribe to the free weekly podcast. And don't forget our newest podcast called One-on-One. When you listen to One-on-One, you'll hear entire interviews from Sharing the Victory, including material that we had to cut due to time constraints. Once again, the web address is sharingthevictoryradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll save you a front row seat when you join us next time for Sharing the Victory. Sharing the Victory is a production of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, the heart and soul in sports.